Let's take up moving on to item five, which is our legislative update. Karen, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, everyone. We usually in June provide an update about pending legislation that is of interest to CICERA and the Board of Retirement. You have a memo in the agenda packet, and it lists a number of interesting bills that are currently pending. So I'll go over those, and if you have any questions, please jump in. The timeline is that the governor has until September 30th of this year to sign or veto bills. And so after September 30th, we'll know which of these bills actually became enacted and will become law on January 1st of 2025. The first bill that I have listed in the memo is AB 2284, and that has to do with the definition of compensation for retirement purposes for legacy members. That's pre-PEPRA members, and we call that compensation earnable. So the statute that defines compensation earnable is Government Code Section 31461 in SURL. And this bill is adding a provision, or would add a provision to that statute that says that retirement systems are authorized to the extent that they haven't defined the word grade in that statute to define grade to mean a number of employees considered together because they share similarities in job duties, schedules, unit recruitment requirements, work location, collective bargaining unit, or other logical work-related group or class. That definition basically would be similar to the definition that the CalPERS statutes have. So they have their own body of law called the PEARL, not the SURL, the PEARL. And in there, they have this definition of essentially a group that has some rational similarity among the employees that that are in that group.
We know who the bill sponsor is on this one.
This bill was introduced by Member Grayson. I did read the various committee analyses that were provided to the legislature. And it seems that it originated out of Orange County, where they have a lawsuit by sheriff's deputies against the retirement system, seeking to include compensation earnable or compensation that they receive that the retirement system concluded would not be pensionable because it wasn't paid to everyone in the same classification. So it's a subgroup of employees within a larger group of that have the same job classification, and they're seeking to have certain compensation included in their pension calculation. And so that's how this bill originated.
Karen, are you aware of any controversy associated with this bill?
There are no oppositions that appear on the website, the legislature's website, to this bill. I do know, though, that the SACRS Legislative Committee is reviewing it and has been in contact with the drafters and with the Orange County folks to make sure that it wouldn't be in conflict with the Alameda decision.
Okay. And then also, could you highlight the meaning of the status? So if the governor has to sign by September 30th, but it's on the Senate Committee on Rules for Assignment, whatever, what that means, does that mean that potentially could be held up in committee for 4 months, 5 months, or?
So,
So what that status actually means?
The bill originated in the Assembly and is now in the Senate. So it moved from, which all the bills have to do, they go from the House that they started at, that which here is the Assembly, and then they go to the other house, which is the Senate. So it's moved along, And now it's within the, like you said, the Senate Committee on Rules for Assignment. And it's, I can't tell whether it's going to proceed or going to be delayed. But so far, it seems to have gone through the all the steps that you would expect.
Couple thoughts on this. So Senate rules, like assembly rules, typically, may not be in this case, but typically would be the committee. Senate rules in this case would be the determiner of which policy committee the bill will go to. In other words, it could go to Senate Judiciary, it could go to Senate something else, Public Employment Committee, and it might get what they call double referred. It might have to go to two policy committees if that's what the Senate Rules Committee determines. And the converse would be true if it was a Senate bill and it was going to the Assembly, same process. So I don't know. I can't tell by looking at it what it is. But they have deadlines right now to get bills through, agenda, right, prep, worked up for hearing, because they got to get them through so that they can be, if they're going to pass, they get presented to the governor in time. So they're on the clock. Just, I don't remember the specifics of the clock right now, but they're definitely on the clock. So that's what Senate Rules is doing. It's deciding which policy committee to refer it to. Do we have an interest in participating? I realize this is not agenda for action, but do we have an interest in participating? I'm a little concerned that an assembly bill from a local assembly member has been introduced concerning an Orange County matter that could refer or affect litigation to which we were a party and resulted in a state Supreme Court decision. I guess I'm a little surprised at how that can occur, but you know, is what it is. I just think we may have an interest in that. Do you? What's your sense?
Yes, I think we do, and this is why the SACRS Legislative Committee is working on this bill, and the co-chairs are meeting with the legislature and the parties involved to ensure that it wouldn't impact any systems that were either parties to the Alameda case or basically all the systems who are subject to the Alameda decision.
Okay. Well, my sense is, and I realize this is not up for action, I would propose, if, and you may begin to do it anyway, but that we at least try to crack open the door and find out what's going on and whether or not we can make an independent judgment about whether this does or doesn't affect us based on what the Supreme Court's decision was. That seem reasonable?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's sort of my query as I read through the legislation, too, is how would that impact how we're calculating our pensions? And do we have classes that we anticipate would be coming forward? And I think it would be important if we are or not recommending that anyone take a position on it, that we fully understand the ramifications to our system.
Yep. Anybody else? And I know David knows people at SACRS, so I'm sure you're going to look at it too. No people. All right. Carry on. I don't think there's any more on that item, but thank you. But go ahead.
Thank you. So moving on to AB 2474, this bill has two parts to it that are relevant to CSERA. The first part is that it authorizes payments to trust accounts. And that is consistent with CSERA's current practice. If you'll recall, last year, that topic was something that the board took action on. And so the bill would propose language that clarifies that it is permissible. Retirement systems are authorized to make payments to trust accounts. Moving on to the second part of this bill, and that's overpayments of benefits. And this has to do with what happens if retirees who are rehired by the public employer, the county, or the district, and exceed the limits that are prescribed by statute of working hours and pay. What happens to that? So those retirees are receiving a retirement allowance, but they're also receiving pay from, say, the county who rehired them as retirees. There are limits to that. If those limits are exceeded or violated, This bill would specify that those, basically the retirement allowance that was paid over the, once the time period prescribed by statute was exceeded, those are treated as overpayments. And so this would specify that the retirement system will then seek the return of those retirement allowance payments that exceeded the statutory limit. Also would assess a fee of $200 per retired member per month until the retiree is enrolled, and those fees would be assessed on the employer. So the employer would now have to pay essentially a monthly penalty for allowing retirees to continue to work past the statutory limit. And it would also provide that if the employer fails to report the pay rate and number of hours worked of a retired member employed in that capacity without reinstatement within 30 days following the last day of the pay period in which the retired member worked, the retirement board may assess the employer a fee of $200 per retired member per month until the information is reported. So that goes to the employer's reporting obligations of here's how many retirees we have working, here's how long they've been working, here's how much they're getting paid. If the employer is not providing these reports, this bill would impose a penalty on the employer. And it would also stipulate that the employer shall not pass on to any employee the fees assessed on the employer for violation of these post-retirement employment restrictions.
What do we think of the bill? I mean, does it affect us, what we're doing, what we've done?
What CICERA does is we advise the employers and the employees of these restrictions, and the employers they have to be in compliance of the law when they rehire a retiree. They have to make sure that they're not exceeding the limits. And I believe we've been asking for reports from the employers of the names of all retirees that they rehired, how long they've been working, how much they're getting paid. And so I think this bill, if it were to become law, would assist in compliance with those statutory restrictions.
Okay.
I think it also helps decrease the administrative headache. If someone goes over the 960, then they get reclassified as a regular employee, and that's just a mess. So I think this helps address this. In Contra Costa County, at least in health services, they are so paranoid about people going over 960 that they try to limit them to 900. So I don't think it's much of an issue in this county, but it seemed like it would be helpful overall to have this in place.
Do you know who the bill sponsor was on this one?
This is Member Lackey.
Right, is the member who introduced it. I'm just trying to figure out who's the person for whom it was introduced. In other words, the entity or the interest or the concern that's being addressed. There's somebody behind the bill.
I think this is the omnibus bill that all the retirement systems take part of, so that CERL, CalPERS, CalSTRS. I'm thinking this came up from the retirement system world.
Okay. So would our voice in that process be through SACRS?
Yes.
Do we have the ability to have an independent voice on any legislation if we so choose under our current policy? I didn't get a chance to look at it. I wouldn't be asking that question without knowing the answer.
We don't have a policy on taking positions on legislation. It's really something that the board, can obviously, as an entity, you can make decisions on those sort of things. But I think the practice has been to work through SACRS. And so I do actually serve on the SACRS Legislative Committee. I go to all their meetings. We have one coming up this Friday. They try very much to provide information to all 20 SIRL systems about pending legislation, take in any feedback, and work on, to the extent that it's something that is a common interest to the SIRL systems, and there's no, it wouldn't, you know, hurt somebody, one of the systems, then the SACRS Legislative Committee is usually the way we like to go.
Okay. But on a case-by-case basis, we might have the ability, should the occasion arise, to either, we could actually sponsor a bill, we could oppose a bill, we could support a bill, we could decide if it was important enough to
us.
Yes.
The bill that created SACRS independence was a separate bill that SACRS and the county worked on separately from SACRS.
Right, and that was the result of a settlement agreement or some process, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, I just was curious as to who the moving forces behind some of these bills are. It's always interesting to find that out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks.
Next is a...
Just a question. Yep. What is the current practice in overpayment? Do we ask for overpayment now or in this case?
I don't know that we have any cases. Christina, do you have any information on that?
At this time, like Dr. McDonald mentioned, the county does try to restrict to 900, so we don't normally see these. But in the past, we didn't have any type of recovery.
So AB 2715 is a Brown Act closed session bill. And it goes to basically cybersecurity and threats to cybersecurity, and would allow a local agency to legislative bodies to meet in closed session to discuss that issue. AB 2770, this one has to do with the new PTSD disability presumption. If you recall, that presumption was added to the law last year, and it had a sunset date. It has a sunset date currently of January 1, 2025, and this bill would extend the sunset to January 1, 2029. Next is AB 3025, and this has to do with disallowed compensation. So we're back to the topic of basically, you know, compensation that counts for retirement calculations, and disallowed compensation is compensation that the retirement system decided is not pensionable. This bill has to do with what happens if an active member or retired member has had this pay where contributions were taken on the pay, but then there's a decision that that pay is not pensionable. This bill would state that for active members, the in that situation, the contributions that were collected on that pay would be refunded. So the employee contributions would be refunded to the employee, and the employer contributions would be refunded to the employer, and then the pay would not be considered in compensation earnable. Or pensionable compensation. Go ahead.
Is that just going forward, or is that retroactive?
It is, I would say it is mostly going forward. It has a carve out there for any type of Alameda corrections that started. So if systems already started Alameda corrections, they're going to be able to continue the corrections the way they did them without having any impact from this new law. But with situations that are not Alameda situations, so I guess an example would be, let's say, I don't know, 3 years from now, there's some pay item, not one that was decided by Alameda, but the system decides it's disallowed, meaning it's not pensionable, then if this bill passes, we would have to follow the rules in this bill about what to do, about how to refund contribution to active members or retired members.
Yeah, the general rule on legislation is that unless it's an urgency bill, it takes effect the January 1 following. So anything that's happening now, it doesn't reach retroactively to a process that's currently underway or that was initiated prior to the bill being law. That's the general rule, unless it's an urgency.
Yeah, I was going to say that there's a lot of folks out there with call pay and other types of pay and so forth that was determined not to be pensionable and across many different departments.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if this, you know, the implications could be pretty substantial if someone is able to claim going back that pay is no longer pensionable, yet they made contributions towards it.
And for retired members, this bill would specify that, again, the contributions would have to be returned, but, of course, this person is already retired, receiving a retirement allowance. Now, that retirement allowance would be reduced because of the exclusion of the disallowed compensation, but the interesting thing about this bill is that it specifies that then the employer would need to pay the retiree an amount that is 20% of the amount calculated by the retirement system, actuarial equivalent present value of the difference between the monthly allowance that was predicated on the disallowed compensation and the adjusted monthly allowance for the duration the system projects to pay that allowance to the retired member, survivor, or beneficiary. So what this means is that for the retiree, who's receiving a retirement allowance, if this happens and there's a disallowed compensation item, the retirement system would have to calculate what is the present value of the benefits going forward, and 20% of that the employer would have to pay to the retiree.
So we've seen this movie. Right, that we've seen this scenario. So it sounds like this particular bill addresses that circumstance, right? I seem to recall there's also a tax effect and impact that drove some of the decisions about how you disallow a benefit going forward, but have a limited period within which to have to provide a compensation back to an employee, right? It seems like we've...
It's a similar rationale.
Yeah, it sounds like a very similar circumstance.
Yeah.
But if they're talking about retirees, and that kind of implies retroactive application.
Yeah, it does. So I guess... any idea who the sponsor is on this one?
I believe this is coming from the legislature because there is a similar... structure that they already legislated with CalPERS. So CalPERS has been administering this type of error correction, I guess you would call it, or overpayment correction for a number of years, not very many, maybe 2 or 3 years. And I think the push is to now basically push it to the SERL systems as well.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, like, one of these bills was a committee bill by its terms, and we've already discussed it, and I'm not trying to go back to it, but I was going to use it by way of example, that it was introduced by a particular the Public Employment Committee members, right? So I'm just always interested in where the bill's coming from on any given matter, because it tells you a lot about it. It was 2770 that's introduced by the committee. What was the example I was trying to give? Where that's clear, that's on the PTSD presumption. So that was a committee bill based on state policy that the committee hears and administers. So I'm just trying to figure out where this one's coming from.
This one also had a letter of support on behalf of the fire union. So that tells you that they're in favor of it. I'm not sure if they... are the original sponsor of it, but
yeah. For every one of these things, there's some origin, right? There's a request, a letter to a senator and assembly person, or a determination made, or somebody goes and says, "Hey, we want you to carry this bill." And I'm just curious on these, what that driving force is, because it tells you a lot, one way or the other. Okay.
Moving on to SB 1379. I thought this was interesting. It doesn't apply to Contra Costa. It applies to the county of Solano, but it is on the topic of the retiree rehire. This one would exempt retirees hired by the sheriff's office in Solano County from the PEPRA 960-hour post-retirement limits. And what they explain in that bill is that the county of Solano is experiencing recruitment issues, retention issues with, you know, recruitment of folks to work in the sheriff's department. And so they are attempting to legislate an exemption from the PEPRA restrictions so that they can hire back retirees full-time. And that brings me to the conclusion of the report today. I'm happy to take any other questions.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for Karen on the state of legislation?
Thank you for being on the SACRS committee.
Yeah, that's an important committee, I think.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
This is actually an alternative to it. So this is I would say the easy alternative to allow retirees to get rehired and work full time with no restrictions. You're welcome.
Any other questions for Karen? Not seeing any. Thank you.
Thank you.